This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
Morning, folks. Friday, of course, that's the review of the week. Let's start with Monday, of course, the 29th of June. Bojo announces $1 billion to be spent on upgrading the school's estate in England over 10 years, so $100 million a year. From that, there should be some consequences come to Scotland if in the unhappy situation we are still in the Union. All right. On Monday also, Bojo, Boris Johnson the clown, claimed that there would be no return to the austerity of the past 10 years. But as we know, that's a lot of crap, because the Chancellor had already laid out his position on tax and cuts. Rishi Sunak has already made it clear that there's going to be another public sector wage freeze, and there'll probably be a round of tax rises in order to pay for the coronavirus pandemic. So Boris and his Chancellor seem to be at odds with each other here on this. Also on Monday, Westminster's politics descends into a farce. Right, as fit as a butcher's dog, Boris Johnson is challenged to a press-up competition by the Red Tory leader, Sir Keir Starmer. Eh? Unbelievable. The First Ministers of Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales look on in absolute unbelievable. They just don't believe what's going on in Westminster. You know, it's just unbelievable. You've got two men in their 50s challenging each other to a willy-waving competition. Pardon the pun, pardon the expression. All right. Right, also on Monday, the press pack tried to get the FM into a wee spot of bother over the Scottish border. They asked her if she would close the Scottish border or quarantine people for England if necessary. The FM fed the baying pack of the mainstream media what they wanted to hear, and she told them that all options were on the table. More of that to come on Tuesday and Wednesday. What I will say is, the First Minister's a clever cookie. Also Monday in Scotland, the loony fringe of the British nationalists is back in the papers again. The LDC and the NDL, which is the Loyalist Defence League and the National Defence League. Interestingly enough, by the way, people, you should know that the National Defence League, which is a new thing, it's being run from an Orange Order hall in Crewe Alexander, I believe. All right. Anyway, over the weekend, these idiots were out guarding statues again, so they made it into the papers on Monday. Nobody's threatened any statues. What these people are doing are actually going onto the street and trying to intimidate people. It's quite deliberate. It's being financed with dark money, which is coming in from elsewhere. But as I say, I'll do an expose in that stuff at some point further down the line. The money's being cleaned and it's finding its way into the coffers of Scotland and the Union and the Conservative Party and the Labour Party here in Scotland. But as I say, I'll do an expose in that at some point further down the line as we see how the rise of the right in Scotland develops. Now, my advice to everybody is if we ignore these people, they will have no impact. None whatsoever. Scotland and the Union, the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, we're going to have to deal with at the ballot box. But the right-wing extremists that are being fired up from outside our country and being financed from outside our country, we have to ignore them, especially as we come into the marching season. I would suggest that everybody stays off the streets. All right? During the marching season, and just let them battle with each other. Okay. That way, then they'll be the people who will be getting arrested and everybody will remain safe. On Monday as well, a Fife councillor, I'm not going to name her, but I could. Fife councillor says that she's not going to take her instruction from Holyrood, she'll take her instructions from Westminster because she's British. When the Fife press pointed out to her that if she doesn't follow regulations here in Scotland, she could be endangering her constituents, she didn't seem to care. So this woman, councillor, Faith Fife, Conservative councillor, is being a danger to her own constituents. I'm sure that her own constituents will deal with her in a manner that they see fit at the ballot box. Also Monday, the BBC reports that benefit sanctions are to resume with the reopening of the job centres. That is just outrageous. I mean, as I said on Monday, we have more food banks in the UK than what we have McDonald's. People are already in abject poverty. Families are going hungry. But these monsters at Westminster these Tory monsters at Westminster are reintroducing benefit sanctions in the middle of a pandemic. Have they no killed enough people already? What are we up to, about 230,000, 240,000? They're claiming only 40,000 deaths to COVID-19 down there. We know about 130,000 that have died as direct effect of benefit cuts. And we know that there's over 65,000 excess deaths in England and probably more. So these monsters haven't killed enough people yet. So benefit sanctions are back, as well as opening up the economy down there too quick, where we're seeing spikes in coronavirus. These heartless Tory gits really don't care. They really don't care. It's distressing to us all. When that announcement was made on Monday, I could not believe it. I didn't believe it, actually. I had to go home and have a look to make sure it was true. I had to have a look at the mainstream media outlets and then jump onto Hansard and see what was said in the Commons that day to say that this was happening. Unbelievable. Also, Monday, the Brigadier in charge of the mobile test units was interviewed on BBC Radio Scotland. She explained how the system worked and how they were quickly deployed and how it was working efficiently. Funnily enough, at the end of that interview, she made it clear that now that the military had got this up and running, it was to be outsourced to a private company to take it over. I don't quite get that myself. We already pay taxes for the military. They're sitting in barracks doing nothing. Well, they could be out there doing these things, these mobile test stations, and earning their pay. But no, the Conservative and Unionist Party in Westminster want us to pay twice for this service. We're already paying for the military, so there's no additional charge if they do it. But if it's outsourced to one of their pals, then that's a new bill having to commute the coffers. And it's an outrage. So the mobile test units will probably become absolutely bloody useless once they're in private hands. Okay. Also Monday, the Home Office gave a statement to the Commons on the tragic incident in Glasgow on Friday, where the Park Inn scene, an incident where a refugee that was being housed there along with the rest of the refugees seems to have flipped his lid and went on a stabbing spree, where six people, one of which was a police officer, was stabbed, and the knife wielder was shot dead. Right? The Home Office has said that there will be an inquiry into the circumstances and an inquiry into Mears and how they were handling the accommodation and the welfare of these refugees. But as I said on Monday, it's going to be a big brush, lift the rug, brush, 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 a rug back down, inquiry over. All right. Right, let's move on to Tuesday. In Scotland, fears of a fresh spike in coronavirus across the central belt begins to fade. After the initial lifting of lockdown in phase one, when people and the weather was good and people rushed to the beaches and rushed into the national parks, there was fear that when we go 3 weeks down the line and we get into phase two, that there would be a spike. Fortunately, we seem to have dodged the bullet. There doesn't seem to be a spike. Ian, I seen that this morning, that the Scottish Ambulance Service was going to take over mobile testing here in Scotland. I think that's a good move by the First Minister. But as I say, the Brigadier who was being interviewed on Monday had stated that they were looking for the Westminster government was looking for an outsourced company to take it over. All right. Anyway, back to Tuesday. We seem to have dodged a bullet. there doesn't seem to have been that spike that we were all expecting to happen because of the behaviour of some people at the beginning of lifting of lockdown in phase one. So that's a wee bit of good news, right? On Tuesday, the people of England react to the headlines from the press over Nicola Sturgeon, First Minister of Scotland, not ruling out quarantining people from England or shutting the Scottish border. UK newspapers are full of reports of people from England, rushing up over the border and bringing the infection back into Scotland because we almost have it suppressed. Okay. But as I say, that wee bit of clever manipulation of the press by the First Minister on Monday had the desired effect on Tuesday. Now, people will still keep coming up over the border, but no as in high a number as what it could have been. And well, the rest is I just need to make up. Those of us who can afford that will just need to take day trips and weekends away to fill the shortfall in the leisure and tourist industry. But it was a clever piece of politics and a clever piece of manoeuvring of the press on Monday, and on Tuesday the desired effect was there. The English press were full of stories of people saying they're no coming to Scotland. The press. Once, for a change, they actually did the First Minister a favour. Well, actually, they didn't. She manipulated them into it. Tuesday, Bojo's big speech on how his gov was going to rescue the UK economy with spend, and build. Bojo then goes on to announce a £5 billion infrastructure spend, which wasn't new money. It just wasn't new money. It was stuff that was already in his manifesto. So all he did was roll out the crap that he'd already spouted last December, and there was nothing new in it. There was nae spend, nae build. We'll get a wee bit more to that on Wednesday. During the lunchtime briefing on Tuesday, the First Minister was asked what she thought of his speech, because his speech was at 11 o'clock in the morning. He looked like Wurzel Gummidge with a stupid hat, blue hard hat on with the name of a company in front of him, free advertising for a company. And the First Minister told the press that she was underwhelmed. You know, there wasn't any new money there, it was all crap. You know. Right, also Tuesday, an English-based rag, which I wasn't going to name, but I'm going to name it, The Express, claims, The Express, and you know how mad The Express have been over this last wee while. It's been hilarious. Anyway, The Express claims here in Scotland that council tax, and a hammer blow to Nicola Sturgeon, is how the headline was, by the way. The Express says, in a hammer blow to Nicola Sturgeon, the council tax in Scotland will have to rise by 50%. to cover the shortfall of councils of COVID-19, right? But as we all know, that's bollocks. Sorry, as we all know, that's not true. Because council tax is capped at 5% at this point in time. But the interesting thing about this is, right, how are the councils going to fill that shortfall? Well, it's easy. The councils in Scotland have borrowing abilities that even the Scottish Government don't have. So they'll just need to borrow and pay it back over a number of years to make a shortfall up. But 50% rise in council tax. Somebody needs to take The Express and put it down. Unbelievable. The crap we get through the mainstream media here in Scotland, because it's owned from outside Scotland, is absolutely hilarious. Also Tuesday, Channel 4 interviewed Professor Steve Rocha of St Andrews University. He's a professor of psychology, right? And they also, in the same interview, they interviewed Professor Devi Sridhar, Professor of Global Health at Edinburgh Uni. And the question put to both of them was, firstly to Professor Rocha, was why is Scotland doing so well during the current pandemic compared to England? Professor Rocha said it was doing a clear messaging for the Scottish Government, trust in the government from the people. The same question was put to Professor Devi Sridhar, and she said it was three things. Scotland's First Minister took a cautious approach, putting lives before anything else. Scotland put the tracking and tracing, or tracing protect as we call it up here, in the hands of local public health officials, and they knew their population better, so it was easier for them to track, trace and isolate and get in charge of this. And number three, she said, Scotland's people trust their government and trust their leader to keep them safe and give them clear, concise instructions. So that went out UK-wide on Tuesday. So the people in England actually got some proper news about what's going on here in Scotland compared to what's going on in England. They must be looking at Westminster in shock and horror and saying, what the actual's going on here? All right. Finally, on Tuesday, as the clock ticks down to the Brexit extension, to the end of the extension, the last day that they could ask for a Brexit extension, BBC Scotland tried to divert the attention of the Scottish public with a false and fake news story. The fake news story had to do with procurement of drugs in the Scottish NHS. And the fake news story was being fed to them by Lewis MacDonald, MSP of the British Labour Party in Scotland. Now, the claim was that procurement was haphazard and no patient-centred. But actually, when you read the report, the only recommendation made in the report was that maybe data collection on the distribution of drugs to pharmacies and doctor surgeries could be a wee bit more robust. Or maybe should be a wee bit more robust. But that was the only recommendation put in the post, in the report from the health committee at Holyrood. And this was fake news. It was deliberate fake news. Anyway, it was absolute fake news. It's another one of the ambulance chasing stories that the BBC have been doing to attack the Scottish government. A bit like the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and the so-called infections that have been there. All the reports that have come out so far have not been able to link the infections and infection deaths at the Queen Elizabeth to the water supply or the air conditioning, as is being claimed. All right. Although there is a public inquiry going on to that, and maybe something else will come out of that. All right. Wednesday. We're on to Wednesday, folks. The Brexit extension deadline comes and goes. So now we know what the script is with Brexit. It is over the cliff edge or a really shoddy deal by the 31st of December. All right. So the Brexit extension date has passed. There will be no Brexit extension, and it's either a cliff edge in December 31st or a really crap deal. My money's on a really crap deal. Also on Wednesday, the press claims there's a war erupted between the First Minister and the Prime Minister over the Scottish border. But the First Minister had already won the war over the Scottish border. Right? Because Bojo completed the job that the First Minister started on Monday by feeding the press what they wanted to hear. We had Monday, all options on the table, including quarantine and shutting the Scottish border. Tuesday, we had reports in the mainstream media in England that people in England are cancelling their trips to Scotland in the droves. And on Wednesday, Bojo, in response to some cringeworthy wee Tory from Aberdeenshire, that there would be no closing of the Scottish border. He then went on to assert that the Scottish-English border didn't exist. Ah, Christ, you couldn't make it up. You better tell his hero, Churchill, who was very, very good at using the, what was called the Windsor Treaty, to point out where the Scottish-English border was. Anyway, up it goes. All reacts. It all goes mental. But on Friday, that gets even funnier when we get a Gantt chart, but we'll leave that a minute. Right? So, no border. There's no border. I've driven across that border hundreds of times. I've posted hundreds of pictures out on Facebook of me putting in London Rule stickers on that border crossing. Hundreds of times. Unbelievable. But, of course, it diverted the attention of the people in Scotland for a wee while we all rolled about laughing. But in that same speech, to that same wee cringeworthy Tory for Aberdeen, he did say, well, health's a devolved matter. And that was the last he said in the matter. But he finished off what the First Minister started on Monday. He enraged the English people enough to get them not to come up here in their droves. The press did the rest, and the First Minister played them all at a flute. Absolutely brilliant. Can you make it up? Wednesday, a cross-border cluster of COVID-19 is discovered in Dumfries and Galloway in Cumbria. A joint public health initiative is put in place to test, trace and isolate anybody involved in the cluster. And to date, there are 11 people in that cluster. They're hoping by Monday they'll have this contained. We'll find out more about that on Monday. All right. Right. Wednesday, nay First Minister's questions, holidays and recess. There was a Prime Minister's questions though, so here we go. Sir Keir Starmer, the Red Tory leader, wholly owned British state lackey, went after Bojo on his the Roosevelt speech, the FDR speech. He gets slapped right into him and talks about how little a percentage of GDP is actually going into this initiative. And he then goes on to attack Bojo because there's no new money in it. He also went on the outbreak and the spike in COVID-19 cases in Leicester. He attacked Boris Johnson on the information sharing with Leicester public officials. And he attacked him on the broken test, trace and isolate system they have down there. It's not working properly. Anyway, Ian Blackford tagged Bojo on his Franklin D. Roosevelt speech as well. And he also went after Johnson on the reintroduction of benefit sanctions in the middle of the pandemic. All right. Wednesday, SNP up the ante. And it would appear that they were waiting on the 30th of June to pass before they started up in the ante. All right. Ruth Wishart, Pete Wishart, Kenny McCaskill and Joanne Cherry all getting in on the act. Right. Pete Wishart said that if Westminster doesn't grant a Section 30 order, the SNP are going to start removing Scotland from the Institutes of Union and they will appeal to the international community and the EU to recognise Scotland's right as a democracy and a country to self-determination. And they'll probably get that support. Right. Ruth Wishart, well, she's in support of the idea of maximising the yes vote by splitting your vote between the SNP and constituency and maybe one of these new parties, the Alliance or ISP or whatever it is out there on the list. I don't think that'll work unless they all get under one banner, but we'll wait and see what happens, all right? Kenny McCaskill and Joanne Cherry want the legislation taken out, dusted down and battered through. This is secondary legislation. The initial legislation's already been through Holyrood and it's sitting on the statute. But Kenny McCaskill and Joanne Cherry, funny enough, my MSP and all, Alex Neil, they all want the secondary legislation put through Holyrood to hold a referendum on independence. Never mind the Section 30 order. As far as Kenny, Joanne, and my MSP Alex Neil are concerned, there's no need for a Section 30 order. A consultative referendum would be enough and just act on the outcome of it. And I believe that in the outcome of that, if it was a yes, the international community would come running through the door with recognition. Everybody wants to put the boot into England right now. Everybody. And that includes the Americans, who the English actually think are their friends, but they're no. They are the vulture capitalists that are going to pick over the dead body of Westminster. Also Wednesday, just to cheer up the Brexiteers that want to do the EU so to stop Johnny Foreigner coming into the UK, Bojo offers 3 million Hong Kongers UK citizenship to allow them to flee the province, the island, and come to the UK. Obviously, the Chinese have reacted and said there'll be serious consequences for the UK if that happens. But as I say, Bojo's really... I mean, the right wing down in England must be getting after a nut. You imagine it, all the Brexiteers down there. Hey, I voted Brexit to get my empire back. I voted Brexit to get my Johnny foreigners out. And there's their prime minister, the guy that really encouraged them to vote on xenophobic lines, inviting 3 million Chinese people to move to the UK. You couldn't make it up. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Right, finally, Wednesday. The bill to end free movement of people from the EU went through Westminster. And that's an end to it. It's a sad day for us all. Especially here in Scotland, where we value our relationship with our EU neighbours. We've no problem with Polish people coming to live here. We've no problem with Spanish, German, French, anybody in the EU coming to live here. We have an ageing population. We require more young, fit folk to come from elsewhere in Europe and the rest of the world to come and help us to build our country and to build our population back up. And every new Scot is welcome. And this bill going through Westminster on Wednesday to stop our free movement is a tragedy, an absolute tragedy. And it broke my heart. Right, Thursday. We'll move on to Thursday. Disabled member of the House of Lords, Lord Shinkwin, claims the reduction in the Lord's daily allowance from £323 a day to £162 a day has left him destitute. Well, my advice to Lord Shinkwin is try living on £93 a week employment support allowance or £73 a week universal credit, your lordship. £162 a day no enough for you. I've worked all my life. I don't think I've ever made £162 a day after tax. In fact, I know I haven't. Unbelievable. Yeah. So a disabled member of the House of Lords claims that £162 a day is no enough for him to live off. Well, maybe it's no. Maybe his rent's £100 a day in the middle of London. I don't know. He could always get a bus and move a wee bit further out, eh? Right. Yesterday, the UK government's caught out in another PPE scandal. This one's an absolute doozy. £24 million quid to a lifestyle company. Now, the lifestyle company, Lux Life Limited, is a shell company. It was set up in 2018. It's never operated. It has no employees. Yet, for some reason, it managed to get a £24 million contract to supply Public Health England and NHS England with 1.2 million surgical gowns and 10 million FFP2 and KN95 masks. Now, this company doesn't exist. It's just a name registered in Company House in London. I've got a couple of companies registered in Company House in Edinburgh. They're just shell companies. They don't have any employees, they don't do nothing. Yet this one managed to get a contract for 24 million quid to provide PPE to Public Health England. So what have we got so far in the PPE saga? We had Movanto getting sold and they were absolute chaos. We had Movanto, which is a company that's the UK government outsources a distribution of PPE and medical equipment to here in the UK, sold to an American healthcare company 4 weeks into the pandemic. Right? And you know how bad the PPE situation was down there at 4 weeks into this pandemic. Right? We've had a rat catcher, a pest control company with 16 employees, given a £108 million contract to provide PPE to Public Health England. We've had a sugar and chocolate wholesaler given a £12.5 million contract for PPE to supply PPE to Public Health England. And now we've got this shell company called Lux Lifestyle given a £24 million contract to supply PPE to Public Health England. They're not even hiding the corruption. They're just giving their pals sweeties. Yeah, you go, oh, we want £108 million. We're out of the public purse. There needs to be a judicial review into all this stuff. And I will be sending this latest stuff. And I have to thank Arne Manstrong, one of the viewers, for sending it to me. I'll be sending that to Joe Monaghan of the Good Law Project in England, because these contracts are all being awarded for Public Health England, and he wants judicial reviews of them all. Now, I'm not sure whether Joe's aware of this one, but he will be later on in the day. I didn't have time to send it last night with some unexpected visitors last night. Right. The latest round of Brexit talks end a day early as Barnier walks away, claiming the UK is not serious about negotiations. So the negotiations were meant to end today, but Barnier just packed his team up and went away yesterday. He said, there's no point. If they're not going to get serious about negotiating, I'm away here to think again. All right. Also on Thursday, the Scottish Government makes face masks compulsory in shops as of next Friday. Right? The 5 mile travel restriction has been lifted for everywhere except for Dumfries and Galloway. And kids from 5 to 11 can play together now without social distancing and can hug their gran and grandpa. Let's hope they're no carrying nothing when they hug gran and grandpa. Also Thursday, Jacob Rees-Mogg, the minister for the 17th century, the lanky piece of human offal, accused the FM of Trumpian behaviour over the Scottish border. He then goes on to claim that the UK is a country, a single country, right? I mean, this big skinny piece of crap for the past, with his great education for Eton College, doesn't seem to understand the name of his own political party, the Conservative and Unionist Party. The clue is in the name. This big lanky piece of human excrement, which lounges about the dark corridors of the Palace of Westminster, is too stupid to understand the name of the political party that he is part of, the Conservative and Unionist Party. The Unionist bit, Mr. Rees-Mogg, you numpty. The Unionist bit has to do with the fact that the UK is a union and no a country, you big skinny freak. Ah, you couldn't make it up, you really couldn't. Anyway, yesterday, Kenny McCaskill wrote an article in The Hootsman saying there's a need for a Plan B and Plan B should be implemented right away. Ian Blackford was on Sky along with Pete Wishard, making it quite clear to Sky Television that if the UK government won't grant a Section 30 order, they're going to start pulling Scotland out of all the institutions of the UK government. The BBC rubbered it, didn't even make it onto their website. Sky had it splattered all over the place, but the BBC absolutely rubbered it, because they know that the majority of people in Scotland get their news from the BBC. Simple as that. All right. Let's move on to Friday, right? UK government announces air bridges to, I think it's 70 other countries, worldwide. Now, the UK government have made claims that Scotland was holding the announcement up. It was meant to be made on Monday. But the Scottish government were getting messed about along with other devolved administrations. And anyway, without the consent of the devolved administrations or the other four nations, England, the Westminster governments went ahead and issued a list. And the BBC then interviewed Humza Yousaf on it this morning, and they put it to Humza Yousaf that they were deliberately holding up this announcement. And Humza Yousaf made it clear. He says, look, I'm not taking any politics. This is politicking. I'm not wearing this crap. This is a public health issue. I've only just been given the list of countries. I need to go through each country and see what the infection rate's like there so that I can advise the First Minister, along with public health officials, on which of these countries we will allow to come and go without 14 days quarantine. It is quite important on public health. But to be fair, Grant Sharp, this morning, the UK Transport Secretary, to be fair to him, he gave a statement to the BBC this morning saying, no, he was quite happy that he understood that the other three nations, and he used the term other three nations or other three countries in the UK had their own procedures to go through. He says, we've got 7 days here. This stuff's not implicated to the 10th. He says, that way we'll probably be able to come to consensus. If they come back to me and say, well, that one's a wee bit dodgy and that one's a wee bit dodgy, they might be able to come and go. But he said he understood it was a health matter and that each of the other nations in the UK had their own concerns here. And I have to say, I was quite impressed with Grant Sharp this morning. And I don't ever say that about Tory. I'm never impressed with any of them. But I was quite impressed with this interview this morning. Or this statement by Grant Sharp this morning, all right? Right, other big story right across the place is Randy Andy. Randy Andy and Rupert Maxwell's daughter being arrested by the FBI, and the FBI are back on the Randy Andy case. They want Prince Andrew to get across there and give a statement or to help with the inquiries. Of course, that's just not going to happen. Right, but all over the place, the press, every single mainstream media paper in England is all about Maxwell's daughter being arrested anyway. I can't remember her name, it's Giselle or something stupid like that. Anyway, she's been arrested on accusations of grooming girls for sex, underage girls for sex, for Epstein. All right, Jeffrey Epstein, they say, but it brings the attention back on to Randy Andy. And the FBI want to speak to him. Also today, a poll shows that only 7% of the drinking population in England intend to return to the pubs when they open on Saturday. And Boris Johnson has said that the people who are going to the pub should behave themselves and they respect social distancing. Robert Maxwell, was it? Right, thanks Fiona. Sometimes there's an awful lot crammed in here, you know. Anyway, so it doesn't look as if the pubs are going to be busy in England. Final one for the day. Bojo's announced that the furlough scheme will not be extended. So October, cut off, doesn't matter what sector you're in. All right? But mass unemployment's coming anyway. They can try and hide it behind COVID-19 if they want. But 31st of December, over the cliff, mass unemployment. COVID-19's only going to mask what's coming down the line. We are looking at huge levels of unemployment. 12, 14, 16, 18, 20%. God knows. Yeah, roll the dice and see what number comes up. I worry, and I can give a shout out to Andy Live Radio because, well, they've made me part of their team and they put my review of the week out 6 times at the weekend. So I'm quite happy to give Andy Live Radio a shout out. Right. Well, folks, that's the review of the week. I hope you enjoyed it. It's Andy Truck Davey and the truck. I hope you enjoyed the show. Independence Live will be broadcasting this broadcast. If it's the same as last weekend, it'll be on twice on Saturday and twice on Sunday. So you can tune into Independence Live and catch it there if you missed any of the show. Listen, have a good weekend. This has been one hell of a week. It's been a roller coaster ride. The saddest part of the week for me, apart from the coronavirus deaths, is the end of free movement of people for Europe. That's really painful for me. Now listen folks, look after each other this weekend. I know the 5 mile limit on travel has been lifted, but it's going to be a bloody miserable weekend. Just stay close to home, get your shopping, get back, get in, stay warm, go and visit your mammy or whatever it is, but do it responsibly, do it safely. Remember your hygiene, remember your social distancing, remember your face coverings. Okay, have a bloody great weekend, be safe.
This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
And in life, dot radio.